turning your Bibles with me to Romans chapter 10. We're going to start with verse 1 and read down through verse 13. Romans chapter 10, verse 1 beginning, reading down through verse 13. And the Bible says, "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have the zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. For Moses describeth the righteousness which is of the law, that the man which doeth those things shall live by them. But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise, Say not in thine heart, Who shall ascend into heaven? That is to bring Christ down from above. Or who shall descend into the deep? That is to bring up Christ again from the dead. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture saith, Whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved."
Thank you, Brother Tim, for that great introduction to reading the Bible. I don't know a better way to introduce anybody than read the Bible and recommend what it says to all of us, beginning with me. Going right back to you here this evening, and so glad to have you here with us. Appreciate Brother Tim so much. He's so good about reading text and about preaching himself. He's held several weekend meetings and has some scheduled already, and I hope and pray soon down here somewhere he'll have one scheduled so he can preach to those who he's shown his love to, and they've shown their love back to him, and you can't help but love him, and he's full of life and wants to serve the Lord. And here's what his grandpa said about him. Said he obeyed the gospel at an early age and fell in love with the Bible. And he's doing his best to teach the Bible, does a great job, and he's made over 100 charts since he's been preaching, and he's able to preach the gospel, and we just thank him very much for reading our text and encouraging us to continue preaching the cross of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He's my son in the faith. I'm James, and he's Timothy, of course. Paul had Timothy and Titus, his sons in the faith, Brother Edward. And so we make that application tonight. And so we're so glad that he's here with us this week. He's my chauffeur, by the way. And he's an excellent driver. And I love him very much. And as we continue our study from God's Word entitled The Lost Bible. The Lost Bible. Back to Romans 10 momentarily, beginning with verse 1. "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge." Have a lot of zeal, but no knowledge. Like that happens today, doesn't it? "Have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge, Brother Mike. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves to the righteousness of God." That's what's going on around the globe right now. A lot of people have a lot of zeal to do a lot of things, but they have no Bible knowledge to back it up. Just any old thing, in any old way, as long as you're religious, it doesn't make any difference. That's what they say. Is that what the Bible says? No, just the opposite. Why do you think he warns people about being ignorant of God's righteousness? When you got it right here before your eyes and you can listen to it through your ears and learn what it says and do what the Bible says, don't go out on a limb or you'll get cut off or you'll break off. Stand firm and foursquare upon the word of the living God. So I'll begin with that word They, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. Our subject being the lost Bible tonight. I don't mean they're lost and nobody can't find one, because there's several copies in everybody's house, probably in every room, two or three copies. I know I've got all kinds of my study and all through the house. But it doesn't matter how many Bibles you have in the house, you could have a roof put on your house made out of Bibles, so to speak, and not read the Bible. What good would it do you? So we hear the old song, dust on the Bible, dust on His holy word. Well, it's dust on our Bibles. Do we use it for pictures and four-leaf clovers and marriage ceremonies and so forth and anniversary announcements? So many places, that's where everybody puts everything. And if you want to find something, just look in the Bible and you'll find all kinds of announcements. But there's a whole lot more in there than that that tells you where you came from, where you are going when you leave here, and how you ought to live in order to get there. It's the roadmap. It's God's divine atlas that takes us to heaven, and it's immortal glory. It is the greatest book that has ever been written. It contains approximately 3,566,480 letters, 773,746 words, 1,189 chapters, and 66 books. 39 in the Old Testament, 27 in the New Testament, 31,102 verses. The average word in this book that we call the Bible contains fewer less than 5 simple letters. Now think of that. It's a book of simplicity. Let me imply to you what I mean by simplicity. Everything you need to know and understand to become a Christian is simple and elementary as ABC. Everything you need to know and understand to be a faithful Christian to go to heaven is as simple and elementary as ABC. That's why Paul said in 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So study this Bible. It contains salvation of our souls if we'll yield our will to God's will. Now think how much sense this makes. We're going to take our final exam one day when Jesus comes again. And guess what book it's going to be from, Brother Timothy? It's the Holy Bible. That lost Bible that most people don't know anything about, even though they could, but they're not interested in it. They're interested in watching TV more than that, going to ball games more than that, going to worldly events more than that. Now, some things that are right within themselves are wrong when we put all of these things before God Almighty, because God is number one, not number two. God don't want you left over time, He left over money, He left over energy. He wants your best. He wants you to give you your heart. And if you don't give your heart, then you've never been truly converted to Christ in the first place. The Lord saith, not as man seeth, man looks on the outward appearance, but God looketh on the heart. David was a man after God's own heart. And we ought to be men and women, boys and girls, after God's own heart. And if you ever want to rise above everything else and live higher than those down below, then study your Bible. Listen to what the Bible says. Obey what the Bible says. Live every day according to what the Bible says, and you're on your way to glory. We have got to be faithful and loyal and true to God Almighty. Matthew 7:21, not everyone that saith to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven. He that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Luke 6:46, and why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? It's being a hypocrite to call on the name of the Lord and talk about the Lord and then fail to do what the Lord says to do. Is it not? Hypocrite's an actor. A hypocrite's an actor spiritually. They're acting to be something they are not. And you know, somebody said, well, you know, there's too many hypocrites over there in that church. That's the reason I don't go there. Well, you know, if you hide behind a hypocrite, you got to be small than he is. So don't pull that in again. That don't work, does it? Took that away from you like candy from a baby, didn't it? And so just live the Word of God and put the Bible first and live your faithful Christian life, because all hypocrites are going to be lost anyway if they don't repent of their sins, confess their faults, and come back to God Almighty. We need to be the genuine article. Don't be concerned about everybody else all the time. Be concerned about yourself, living for God, putting God first. And that's what it's all about. and understand that you study the Bible, you must know what the Bible is talking about and who it's speaking to in the proper application. Understand what is in the Old Testament or the New Testament. It makes a difference. If you had a pair of old shoes and you bought a pair of new shoes, wouldn't you know there's some difference? Well, the Old Testament and New Testament is just that. The old is the old and the new is the new. And the things written aforetime in the Old Testament, written for our learning, we do pay to come the Scriptures might have hope. And the Old Testament is the Old Testament, the New Testament concealed, and the New Testament is the Old Testament revealed, that is made known to us. And so we see then, God's Word is truth. John 17:17, sanctify them through thy truth, thy Word is truth. We also understand there's three age or dispensation of time in the Bible that we need to comprehend. Number one is the patriarchal age of time. Patriarch means father, and the word archal means rule. It was the age of the time of the father's rule when God spoke the heads of the families, the patriarch, revealed it unto them. They taught it to their children and so on down the line. They were in charge of their family, just like the fathers are in charge of their families today. And that patriarchal age of time was an age and era of time when there was no written, recorded revelation. Nothing written down, Brother Timothy, like we have the Bible today. God was making it possible that to be written. He's making preparation for all that to take place. And Brother Junior, it took a long period of time for that to be done down through the ages of time. And so we find then that the patriarchal age lasted about 2,500 years of time. It was the first age of time beginning in the dawn of creation there as Adam and Eve were placed in that garden. That's part of the patriarchal age of time. And so it's about 2,500 years of Bible history. No written revelation that we have record of spoke orally, verbally, and directly to man in that age or dispensation of time. Then we come to number two in just a moment. But first of all, we want to notice the patriarchal age. We'll refer to that so the young people too and older people too can understand. It is the starlight age of time. Now the starlight is a light. It's a dim light, but it's a light because there's the stars were put there and shine in the heavens, and we find the sun is a greater light of the day, the moon a lesser light of the night, and the stars you made also are in addition to. And so we use that as a starlight age of time because it was beginning age of time and the dawn of creation. And the light of the promises of God was shining and pointing toward the time that what would happen on the cross of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But it'd be a long period of time. Then came the Mosaic Age. The Mosaic Age of time would be represented by the moonlight age of time. You see a little bit more lights coming along as we go on down through this observation. And so that Mosaic age lasted about 1,500 years of Bible history. John 1:17 says the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. So you expect more, don't you? The law was given by Moses. It was temporary also. The law was a shadow of things to come, the Hebrew writer said. But we're going to have a more perfect law, a more perfect application, you see. The law made nothing perfect, except that the bring in of a better hope did. And that better hope, of course, would be through the death, the burial, the resurrection, exaltation, coronation, magnification, and glorification of Jesus Christ back on the right hand of God the Father. And so that law of Moses was to bring us to Christ. The law was a schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. And since faith has come, we're no longer under a schoolmaster. A schoolmaster means a tutor or an instructor that brings you up to a point. For example, if you hired a tutor to teach your child mathematics in your home privately, well, when they completed that course of being tutored on mathematics, then you no longer have to pay that person to tutor anymore because they completed that course of study. So and so, the law was a schoolmaster or tutor or instructor to bring us to Christ. It brought us up to a point. And so that which is imperfect in the past is being brought up to that which is perfect in the future through the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And so that it represents the moonlight age of time. The light is shining a little brighter now, a little brighter than the starlight age of time. But we come on now to the time that here in the Mosaic Age is the time when there was the first written recorded revelation. Prior to that it was spoken orally, verbally, and directly. We said a few moments ago. But now we have the first written revelation recorded in the law of Moses. In Exodus 20, you can read about the Ten Commandments. That's the first thing was ever written down for man to study and to know about. And God wrote them there with His own finger. And of course, Moses is up there on that mountain, and then when Moses got back down there and built the golden calf, and they was working that golden calf, and Moses was angry and broke those Ten Commandments, he went back up there and he made them again, you see. And so that was the first written recorded revelation of God to man that we have record of. Then comes the law of Christ. Galatians 6:2 says, "Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ." The law of Christ. From the time he suffered and bled and died upon the cross, his death, his birth and resurrection, we talked about last evening. You see, this perfect law of liberty, James 1:25, the truth in the perfect law of liberty, continue therein, giving not to forget what you're, but to do the work also, this man shall be blessed in his deed. And so, the New Testament scripture, the death, the burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ was brought about by total perfection. 2 Peter 1:21, the prophecy came not in old time of the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. They were guided by the power of the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven. And so this supernatural book, the New Testament, was written because they were overseeing that. God was inspiring those apostles to write these things and write these books so we might have the record of all the things that was brought about. And we find in Hebrews 9:16 and 17, the testament is enforced after men are dead, otherwise no strength at all while a testator liveth. For where a testament is, there must also necessity be the death of the testator, and that testator is the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, which makes possible the perfect law of liberty through his death, his burial, and resurrection from the dead. But now through this age of time, the full light is brought down. Remember, we had the starlight in the patriarchal age, had the moonlight in the Mosaic age, and now we got the sunlight, S-O-N-L-I-G-H-T, by the way. It's sunlight, too, that started out to begin with, literal sun, but now it's the sunlight age of time. It's S-O-N light age of time, and the light is brighter and shines than brighter than anything else before. It's the brightest light that's ever been. And so we understand then that the sunlight age of time is the age or dispensation of the grace of God. It's the New Testament scriptures, which is the fulfillment and fruition of the patriarchal, the Mosaic system, and completed under the law of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So the Bible is a tremendous book, and we need to follow it, we need to study it, we need to obey it from the heart, because if we don't, we're going to stand condemned. Now this Bible is lost today in every home, just about in America. Well, why would you say that, Brother McDonald? Because how many homes in America is following the Bible, Brother Jerry? How many people in the homes are following the Bible? Let's notice what the Bible says in 2 Timothy 1, verses 2 through 5, from the pen of the Apostle Paul. 2 Timothy 1, verses 3 through 5. Notice what the Bible says. 2 Timothy 1, verses 2 through 5. Excuse me. Verses 2 through 5. And the scripture says, "To Timothy, my dear beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Jesus Christ our Lord, I thank thee, God, whom I serve for my forefathers with a pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayer night and day, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. When I call to remembrance," now notice, "the unfeigned faith that is in thee." That's called remembrance, the great or unfeigned true faith that's in thee, "which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois, and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded is in thee also." Now, where did he get all that he knew about? He got it from his grandmother and his mother. And no doubt he's sitting there on their knees, so to speak, or sitting alongside Brother Timothy, and they were godly women, and it was a private situation. You know how I know it's a private situation? Because a woman can't teach in a public situation. 1 Corinthians 14:34-35, "Let your women keep silent in the churches, or are not permitted them to speak, they're going to be obedient to them, as also saith the law. And if that will learn anything, let them ask their husband at home, for it's a shame for women speaking in church." Now that's plain in the Bible. Many churches of Christ deny that and oppose that and do the very things the Bible says don't do. But they're not authorized by the Bible to do it. And 1 Timothy 2:9-11, he goes on to say, "But I suffer not a woman to teach, nor do you serve the authority over the man, but to be in silence." I didn't say a woman couldn't teach, period. He said she couldn't teach publicly, you see. That's what he's talking about. Not in the public assembly of the church. She can't teach privately because Lois and Eunice taught Timothy privately, you see. And he had a wonderful knowledge of the Bible. Sometimes women are smarter in the Bible than men. And don't try to silence a woman completely, because God does not silence a woman completely. He has restrictions on women, and he has restrictions on men too. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, he talks about where he says, let your women keep silent in the churches. Now, they were talking about speaking in tongues in that chapter there, and he plainly said to these men, he said, if you have no interpreter, remain silent. Remain silent if you got to have an interpreter. So that was a language they could learn, or they wouldn't have needed an interpreter. In the book of Acts chapter 2, when the apostles spoke in tongues and languages that all understood, the Jews were assembled on the day of Pentecost, Jews and Parthians and so on and so forth, out of the nations under heaven, so to speak, Jewish nations. And we find then that he was speaking there, and he spoke one sermon in that one language, and everybody understood it in their own native tongue. No translators were necessary. That's a miracle. That's a miracle right there. That's the difference in 1 Corinthians 14 and Acts 2. Acts 2 is a miracle. 1 Corinthians 14, they needed translators. Even need a translator today. If you went to Russia, you wouldn't know Russian from a chicken track, probably just like me. I wouldn't either. But you need a translator. Or if you went to China or somewhere else, you got to have a translator. Because nobody can miraculously go to all these countries and speak a language everybody understands without translation. Now, we know that. And a lot of these things that a lot of people are up and doing in so-called churches today claim to be speaking in tongues. They're just a gibbering and a jabber. That's what it amounts to. And you better speak, Paul said, you better speak five words and understand it, and 10,000 words in an unknown tongue. And so he says, it's no profit if you can't understand what you're talking about. But we need to study the Bible and do what God says to do, the way God says to do it. And what about the home? Again, let's notice. 2 Timothy 3, 14 and 15. 2 Timothy 3, verses 14 and 15. And the Bible says, but continue thou in the thing which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, referring to the same incident here, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. From a child. Remember those good things you heard from a child. As a child. The home is the first school. And there's no better school. No wonder so many people are homeschooling today. It's no wonder. Because that's a good way, but you got to be careful what curriculum you get to watch them, because a lot of them will teach you something's wrong. And there's something going on today, and that we don't have time to get into it now, but some of our brethren get involved in this homeschool teaching, and they're going off on some teaching that's not in harmony with the Bible, you see. And so make sure your home study stuff is based on things that are right and not things that are wrong. There's a lot of things out there you got to watch about these days. But I want to read you something here, and I know we have our lost Bible, what we're talking about is our children today. The home has been lost. The Lord lost the Bible because they don't use it to put it in practice with their children. But here's what the devil would say about it, is saying about it and doing about it. Now listen to me. I don't want to scare you, but I want to wake you up, shake you up, and line you up, hook you up to this book. That's what I'm interested in. I've come to visit your children, and I'm pleased with what I see. They abuse all kinds of drugs and are getting drunk with me. They live as Gomorrah and Sodom. Their minds perverse and blown. I will claim their souls any time now. You should have not left them alone. I'm glad you work long hours. Oh, I'm glad you were busy a lot. And it would have been harder to sway them if you too hadn't been using pot. This is pretty famous. Bear with me. At your schools, I've been at work making sex an acceptable gain. You slept while I fought to keep prayer out to add to your neglectful shame. You don't seem to notice the witchcraft I broadcast on your own TV. It's just an innocent program. Twitch your nose, as they say, follow me. And he says, add a couple of violent sitcoms. It's funny to see a head blown in two. Now your little Tommy has his own gun, and there's nothing you can do. Now, does that tell you what's going on or not? Pretty good, didn't it? Oh, a whole lot more than that. Take pages and pages tonight. We don't have time for all of that. But so we see what's happening. The Bible is lost in the home. because the people in the home are not using their Bibles. How many hours do you think people spend, average parents in their home, reading the Bible to their children, or making sure their children are reading the Bible? Do we read the Bible 15 minutes a day? 1,440 minutes in a day, Brother Tim. I wonder how many of us read the Bible 15 minutes out of that 1,440. Think about it. And then we come to services and stand up and say, "Oh, I love Jesus. Throw out the lifeline. I'll be with you all the way. And where it leads me, I'll follow." Huh. Talk cheap at it. We need to do what the Bible says and use our life. 168 hours in every week. How much time do we spend of those hours? Do we spend 8 hours in that 168? Don't hold your breath. Read the Bible. I've got a CD of Alexander Scorpion. He's an Englishman. One of the most articulate readers you'll ever find. He has word pronunciation out of this world. Listen. The whole Bible, Brother Ed, Genesis to Revelation, is on one CD. I set my recliner and I turn it on the TV and I watch the Bible. It's a big print. You just sit there and relax, turn the volume up, you'll have to have your magnifying glasses usually, and you just listen to the Bible. Sometimes I go through the book of Genesis and even beyond that one time. Sometimes I go off to sleep listening, watching the Bible. Can you think of any better way to go to bed? I just can't. And you wake up and flip it on again if you want to. And you can run it over and put it on another chapter if you don't want to read that many chapters. Read how many chapters you want. You can read it over here in Romans. You can read it over here in 1 Corinthians, Revelation. You can go back to Genesis or whatever. Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, Judges, or Nehemiah, Isaiah, wherever you want to go. Man, that's something. Now, what kind of an excuse would people have that they don't have time to sit down and watch the Bible? It's the King James Version. That's all I'm interested in. That's what I watch. That's what I preach from. That's what I teach from. And so, that's a good thing. Of course, they have all kinds of versions I'm not interested in, but I've got a lot of different ones in my study that I study for comparison and see how far off they are usually. But anyway, that's a good way. And you can put it in your car with a CD, and you can listen to CDs. You see, you can get them on a CD or you can get them on a DVD. DVD is what I should have said. It's a CD on TV, and a CD is not on TV, but that's what you listen to while going down the road in your automobile. You know what I'm talking about. So we need to spend time reading and studying our Bibles. We not only lost the Bible in the home, we've lost it in the pulpit. How many pulpits today you know that really preach bold with the Bible? Think about it. They really challenge you and wake you up and shake you up and get you to look up at the truth. Now that's what we need. Plain Bible preaching. Book, chapter, and verse. You know, years ago they called people that smoked one cigarette after another chain smokers. We need to be chain Bible readers. One verse after another, Brother Mike, don't we? That's what we need. We need to be chain reading the Bible. In the sense that we need to keep our minds saturated, Brother Timothy, with God's holy word. So the pulpit, 2 Timothy 4, verses 1 through 8. Let's look at it. 2 Timothy 4, verses 1 through 8. I charge thee before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead, and he's appearing in his kingdom. Preach the word. Be yesterday in season, now to see. Preach what? The word. Not your own ideas or somebody else's. Preach the word. Be yesterday in season, now to see. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all long-suffering doctrine. The time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap themselves teachers, having itching ears. Tell them what they want to hear. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thine all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist. That's what I'm doing my best to do, do the work of an evangelist. Make full proof of thy ministry by preaching the Bible. For I'm now ready to be offered, Paul said. Right now, he said, I'm ready. I'm ready to be offered. Why? Because the life he lived and the things he taught. I'm now ready to be offered, present tense. Time of my departure to hand could be at any moment. Or second. I have fought a good fight, past tense. I have finished my course, past tense. I have kept the faith, past tense. Henceforth, future tense, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord of righteousness shall give me that day, not to me only, but that love his appearing. Now, what? When is his appearing? It's his second coming. That's what it is. It's not for me. I'm not the Lone Ranger. If you're serving the Lord and you're living right and you're pressing on toward the prize, it's for you too. Look forward to it. Have hope of it. Live in such a way you can have that hope beyond the grave, beyond the cemetery, beyond this life. And so that's important to understand. We've got to have a strong pulpit preaching the gospel. 1 Timothy 4:16, take heed to thyself and to the doctrine. Continue in them. Continue in what? The doctrine. For in doing this, thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. You see, in preaching the gospel, I can save myself by obeying the gospel, and help you save yourself by obeying the same gospel. It's the same for all of us. God is no respecter of persons. Acts 10:34-35, the truth I perceive, which means understand and know that God is no respecter of persons. But in every nation, not just the Jewish nation, this nation, in every nation he appeareth God and worketh righteousness and acceptable of him. Who is acceptable to God? Those who fear God and work righteousness. How can you fear God and work righteousness and have a lost Bible? Not know what's in the Bible. Not following the Bible. Not living the Bible. If you're not obeying the Bible and following the Bible, when the time comes to go to the cemetery, friends, it'll be long gone for eternity, friend, forever, with no hope of ever changing your direction again. You might say that's hard. You'd been here in Paul's day, you'd have thought hard. I'd be mild compared to him. Yes. If you get in the real good, you can't be concerned about hurting people's feelings and stepping on their toes. If you don't, you ain't fit to be a gospel preacher. You might make a little talk every now and then, but you're not going to tell the whole truth. Because if you preach the whole truth, they won't like it, or you either. I've been down that road. Still going down. Do you think they like what Paul preached? No. They stoned him and left him for dead. He was let down the wall of the basket. He spent a day and a night in the deep. He suffered shipwreck. All kinds of things happened to him. But he said, yea, out of them all the Lord delivered me. Hallelujah. If you're never being contested or challenged or asking any questions, something's dead up the Greek somewhere. Preach the truth. Shall the whole earth will say, throw the cob down now and out the back door. Tell it like it is. If we can't stand the heat, get out of the kitchen. Just line up to the book. And that'll be pleasing to God. If I wasn't going to preach the truth revealed in this Bible, I'd never hit the pulpit again. Probably wouldn't be worthy, neither can anybody else. If they don't, preach the Bible. You can't worry about if you're getting your own kin folks or your uncles, your aunts, and your friends and neighbors. You can't preach to suit the fellow that has more money than you do, or more than he's got. You can't compromise the Bible. Because as we said, God is no respecter of persons. God will preach the truth. 1 Peter 4:11, if any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. Speak when the Bible speaks. Be silent when the Bible is silent. Add nothing to it. Take nothing from. Revelation 22:18-19. We're told if we add to this book, we'll add the plagues written in this book to our life. And if we take away from this book, we'll have our part taken out of the book of life and out of this book of prophecy. And that's a terrible thing to think about. That's an awful thing. Our part will be taken out of the book of life. That's got to be put in before we can take it out. So it can be taken out. God puts it in, he takes it out. It's conditional upon whether we obey or disobey. Like the old song, when we walk with the Lord in the light of his word, what a glory he sheds on our way. When we do his good will, he abides with us still. If only we trust and obey. We've got to trust. We've got to obey what God says. 1 Corinthians 15:58, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding. The word abounding makes you be active, engaged, or involved in the Lord's work. Always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know your labor is not in vain in the Lord, it's not in vain. It counts for everything. When you preach the gospel, tell the truth, and live by that truth, you're promised a reward in heaven. faithful unto death, and I'll give you a crown of life. Didn't say be faithful just a little while. Revelation chapter 2 and chapter 3 talks about being an overcomer. Seven times he said, to him that overcometh will I give. Every one of those congregations already members of the church. They were all congregations he's talking to. There was some obeying God in those congregations. There were some not obeying God in those congregations. He commended those who were obeying him and condemned those who were not obeying him and said, you better shape up and line up and hook up, make a long story short, I'm going to wipe you out. I'll remove your candlestick, one place he said. Those seven churches. But what is a candlestick? A candlestick is a church. Seven golden candlesticks. Seven stars. That's the angel of the seven churches. The messengers that delivered the message. And the seven golden candlesticks are the church. The churches. Candlestick. Candles upon the candlestick give light. They produce light. That's their purpose. And when a congregation of the Lord's people don't do right and live right, they don't shed no light. They cover up the light. You know, the book of Matthew talks about you don't light a candle and put it under a bushel. No. You leave it out where the light will spread, you see. And that's why he goes on to say, let your light shine, that others may see your good work and glorify the Father in heaven. Don't try to hide them. Don't put them under a bushel. Put them on display. I'm living for God. I'm a big advertiser for God and His Word by my life every day. I forgive, and I want to be forgiven. I'm humble, and meek, and lowly. I want to be like a little child. Because that's what it's going to take. When Matthew 18 and 19, a little child brought to him, he said, suffer to be so, for such is the kingdom of heaven. Except you be converted and become as, or like it, little children, you shall in no wise enter the kingdom of heaven. Now think about how humble you have to be like a child. We were down to daycare for 25 years before my wife passed away this last November. You know, I worked a lot that daycare with her. Those little children out in the yard, you know, after lunch, especially they're quite there playing outside. They had a lot of tricycles, a lot of different kinds of toys, all kinds of rides. But they seemed to want the same thing a lot of times. We're that way too. Even we're grown-ups. Well, you'd see them fight and pull an air and they'd bite almost a chunk out of their other hand. And wife would go out there and get them corralled down, you know, and get them, talk to them a little bit. Sometimes I would too. And you know, then it's just a little while, well, they'd just be sharing each other's tricycles and helping each other in a red wagon and riding on the ride that they didn't want the others to ride on, letting them ride on there instead of them, swinging on the swing set and letting them do this or that. They forget about it. They go on doing things. But it'd be wonderful to all the congregation of the Lord's church everywhere, you know, get along like that. Say, hey, I've been wrong. But I won't be more right and correct. I've been living incorrectly. Now I want to live correctly. That's the way it ought to be. That's the way it ought to be. The missing Bible, the lost Bible. So many categories. We didn't touch the hem of the garment here, Brother Timothy. We still got more stuff to do, but we don't have time to do all of that. And our thoughts quickly. The lost Bible comes to our thoughts or God's thoughts. Isaiah 55, verse 9, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, into my ways, your ways, saith the Lord. For as heavens are higher than the earth, so my ways and your ways are my thoughts than your thoughts. And Ephesians 5:15-16, see that you don't walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, for the days are evil. Take it advantage. Buy up all your opportunity. Salvage every one at your fingertip before it slips away from you. Redeeming the time, knowing the days are evil. And we're living in ungodly, evil times. And the Bible is lost in our society to so many people today. We need to get back to this book that we call the Bible. And find that are just so much unconcerned. And we'll close the lesson. Unconcerned. They're not concerning about things like they ought to be. It's like the Church of Laodicea, we just paraphrase. You know, they thought they was rich and in need of nothing. Can't you just see them as a big fine congregation? Just use your imagination. But it would have been a big nice building, so to speak. Had all the fineries that man could afford. And they thought they didn't need a thing. They had need of nothing. But Christ was there among all those seven golden candlesticks, which is churches. He was seeing firsthand what was going on, you see. And he said, you know, they thought they had it made, they had need of nothing. He said, thou art wretched and miserable and poor and maimed and blind. Now, how much more could be wrong with you? You see, their assessment of themselves and their unconcern for their head just got them in trouble, big trouble. Now, you know, Christ told the truth, didn't he, Brother Tim? He told the truth. He told the truth. Of those seven golden candlesticks. Laodicea was blind, wretched, miserable, poor. Why? And he said, because thou art lukewarm. I would you're either cold or hot. I would you're either cold or hot, but you're lukewarm, and because you're lukewarm, I will spew you out of my mouth. How many of us go home from church tonight and any night and drink lukewarm water when thirsty? Say, gone. Get some cold out of the refrigerator, or a bottle of cold in the refrigerator. See? In other words, it was spiritually nauseating to the Lord. Makes me sick the way you're doing. Makes me sick the way you're doing. He said, wretched, miserable, poor. Now think of that. He told them to straighten it out. Get straight. Get your life straight. That's what people need to do when their lives are out of order with God. And so what about us, the lost Bible? What category are we in tonight? Are we following or failing to follow this pattern with our children, their husbands and wives? What a wonderful thing for husband and wife just sit down and study the Bible together. Turn that TV off and study it together. Turn that TV off and study with your children. It's your responsibility to teach and guide and train your children and bring them up in the nurture and have this. The Lord feeds sick 1-4. Children, obey your parents and the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and thy mother, which first commandment promised to be buried with thee, thou mayest live long on the earth. And ye father, provoke not your children to wrath. Don't stimulate, agitate, and arouse them to wrath, but bring them up. Look here. Bring them up from a little small in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Keep reading that Bible. Keep praying together. The family prays together, stays together. Pray together as a family. Sing together as a family. We used to go into gospel meetings when our children were small. We'd sing all the way over there and back. Just sang songs. Enjoy ourselves. Good, wonderful, helpful, a good spiritual diet for any of us. You listen so patiently, I don't want to hold you any longer. So I want to give the invitation. If you're not a Christian, you've heard the word and plenty of it. Plenty of it tonight. Faith comes by hearing. Hearing by the word of God. Romans 10, verse 17. You've heard it, now do you believe it? For without faith it's impossible to believe. That's faith. For all that comes to God must, it's an imperative, must believe that he is. And it is rewarder of them that diligently seek with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. That's what that diligent means. Diligent. Don't recognize it. Diligently see. Hear it and believe it. Then repent of your sins. What is that? It's a change of mind and a change of will, which leads you to a change of life. Your mind says, I won't be any longer to serve the devil, to serve sin. I'm going to turn my back on sin. I'm going to shake the devil off your coattail and come to Jesus. It's time to have a new master. Your master is Christ, not Satan. Repent. Turns your back on Satan. Said, I'm coming to Jesus. But change your mind, change your will. Think you change your life. Listen to them. If you don't have a change of life, you didn't get your thing. You can't go back and get the same of the word of things and repent because that's not repentance. Repentance means to change your mind, change your will, and change your life. If you're a liar, you can come, if you repent, so would you lie? Right? Alright? If you're a thief, you won't be deceived. Or whatever it might be, it enumerates several things.
Change your mind, change your will, change your life. And make that sweet confession. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. That's it. But God, the Lord, just like you. Make that confession. I believe the greatest word to everybody in the Bible, give me the great belief. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Then be buried with him in baptism. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. In the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of forgiveness and your sins. And then you would just like the enemy. That you come up by that water grave baptism, you'll go on your way rejoicing. And the Lord will add you to his church. Because you've been baptized into Christ, you put on Christ, you contacted.